I explained it to you.
First off, The Walking Dead is so not real, because if there's a zombie apocalypse, I ain't wearing my hair down, okay? It's getting cut off immediately, Mad Max style.
What are you going to cut? Oh, I guess they still have scissors in the apocalypse. I guess you're
going to say. Yeah. They're shaving their beards sometimes or take a knife. I don't care. I'll rip it out. But I'm not going to have my hair down and straight. It's just ridiculous.
Zombie will grab it.
Yeah, you don't want anything that the zombie could grab onto.
Or that high fucking ponytail to keep their... They'll see that coming.
No, I'll do that.
Like, I'm only wearing Under Armour, real tight, spandex, pants, you know, things that can't be grabbed by
Leather's
zombies.
Leather's good. Because they can't bite through it as easy.
Can you imagine though wearing leather in Atlanta?
No, yeast infections. That's all I see. Women going around unsanitary, wearing their denim for days, and how humid it is. Oh, they're going to die from freaking, what is it, the tampon in too long disease.
Toxic shock.
Yes. I am so worried.
Is that real?
Oh, yeah.
I
thought it was. You can't wear a tampon more than like 13 hours before like taking it out. Apparently, that's when you start running the risk of getting it.
That's how my grandma died, actually.
Don't do that. I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
She was 97.
And she was still getting her period.
Getting her period. No,
she left it in from when she was 42.
Yeah, she just warm. She was warm because it was a comfort thing.
Tampon. She had Alzheimer's. I thought she was a 14-year-old girl.
I'll tell you what, though. There are some times where... And I know I'm not the only female, because this is what we talk about. This is what the ladies talk about. Is sometimes you go to put one in, you go, wait a minute, did I already put one in? Did I already take one out? And you don't remember the quota, so you kind of look at the trash can, and then you're doing the math, and you're like, well, I don't feel anything up there, because you got to go in. You got to go do your own
investigation.
You got to
do some research.
And then you just go, well, okay, because only one time have I tried to put something in. I'm like, oh, there's one there, my bad. But apparently they can kind of, if you forget about it long enough, they can just get sucked up in that cervix.
I've fished one out before.
They need to have like a Find My Tampon app for your phone.
You ship know it I mean? First.
Yeah. Oh, it's already there.
Kind of USB charged one that goes off a Bluetooth signal so you can find it?
I'd be so mad. It's dead. Hold on. I got to switch.
Do you guys hear a beeping noise? Hang on. Let me check. Let me find. You guys hear that beeping? Is that my tampon? Is it in the couch? Where is it?
What kind of bait were you using to fish that thing out, Austin?
Well, yeah, okay, here. They don't eat stuff.
Oh. Yeah. Well, like, sorry. Did you make a small lasso? And tossed it in there and like tried to fish it out that way? Or
I got
did
one
you...
of those poles with a loop on it like it was a stray dog.
Or did you bend a coat hanger like you were going in to unlock an 82 Buick?
Yeah. It's the finger sweep you learn from choke. You know, when you learn CPR and then what to do for the Heimlich?
You Heimlich the vagina?
You have to awkwardly do that finger sweep in the mouth, which is
punched her in the bladder until it popped out.
Couldn't you just do like abdominal compressions, like to the beat, staying alive. You just keep hitting it, and then it'll finally, poof, it just shoots out.
You flip her upside down and do the Heimlich, and then it pops out the top.
Yeah, if you blow in her butthole, it'll pop out. Plug her nose first, though. You know.
Hang on. I know what to do. All right. I'm going to need to blow in your butthole.
And have her in a handstand so it's easier. So just be like a, yeah.
There it goes. You're probably going to need to fart, too. Oh. Blowing her butthole.
Oh, my God. Mm. What a visual.
It's been a day.
I'm glad I'm a dude. We have so few things to worry about.
I've never had anything fished out of me. Never a need.
You know, can't find my car keys. No big deal. I'll just take a lap around the house. Nobody has to check inside me for anything, I don't think. Maybe a polyp every now and then.
A polyp?
I don't know what happens when, you know, whatever doctors look for. Have you guys hit the age where you've had the check?
I've never had one.
Well, the colonoscopy was with the camera, but just the finger check. Like prostate.
Oh, a finger in your butt?
Yeah.
For my 40th birthday, I got that.
Really?
Yeah, I think
God, who got you that as a gift?
Yeah. No, my girlfriend that night.
Oh.
During the blowjob, I was just
playing. I've had a mammogram, but...
Now yeah, I heard those suck.
I can't believe we don't have a better machine for that than a boob, just a tit smasher.
It's like a vice, right? And they just
they like flatten it out.
Like an iron vice.
Oh, and you hear about it and you go, it can't be that bad. And when they do it, you go, okay, it can't get any flatter. And then they're like, no, they only stop to reposition you. They're still going to keep going down. You're like, what?
No.
And then afterwards, you think you have cancer because how bad your boobs hurt for the next 7 to 10 days. But again,
how long?
Like 7 to 10 days.
It really?
Awful. But at the same time, early detection is the best protection. Please go get a mammogram, ladies. Do not wait.
And,
I have to get one.
And let your guy play with your boobs. A lot of people find it that way.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. True story. Really? A lot of times it's just your pervy partner who cannot take his hands off your boobs. He finds it. Or she.
Now, wouldn't it be uncomfortable to have a one-night stand discover it for you? Like, you barely know each other. It's like 3:30 in the morning, you know, just after last call. You go back to your place, right under the shirt. Oh, hey, I can't remember your name, but I think you have a lump here. I don't know. Like, that would be so awkward.
That's the next morning.
That might be the only good thing that came from that, actually, would be.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be a keeper, I think, if he's, you know, willing to stop. To make you aware that he feels something.
You're going to have to deal with him, you know, mentioning that he's a boob doctor now. But
right. No, seriously, right, my last girlfriend, I spotted it early on her. let me take a feel.
That's hilarious.
It sucks. Well, it's the same thing for guys. Guys with testicular cancer, sometimes the ladies will notice something, which I would assume the guys
attentive ladies
first. But,
yeah.
But the lady, she is going to say something. Like, we're very detailed, so if we're concerned, we're going to let you know.
Yeah.
I'm a worrier.
Really? What's that thing on your balls?
Yeah. Why are your balls extra weird?
Do you have three?
Why are your balls more gross than normal?
I would ruin the mood so fast. I wouldn't even wait to say it. I'm like, oh, my goodness, I'm so concerned. Let's talk.
He'd be like, yeah, no, I'm dying. Let's keep going.
I think you have three. You have a loop on your ball. What? You have a lump on your ball.
Yeah. Keep telling me about my ball cancer.
And maybe it's just the ladies I've known throughout my years, but I would say, based on that, maybe two girls I dated would have noticed something on my balls.
There's not a lot of ball wranglers out there.
No,
there's not. That's a very special, lady.
And honestly, I've never been a big fan of it because I've never really met anyone that treated my balls well enough for it to be enjoyable.
Most are too aggressive with it, and it hurts. I'm gonna be honest with you. Like those are sensitive. You can't just, you know, this. It's not a stress ball. You know, these are balls.
Yeah, it's not the Chinese balls that you roll in your hand. That's how they treat them.
You can't shift them. They're connected. Yeah.
By the way, always avoid any guy that has those too, because he probably owns swords and spent a lot of time at Spencer's or Karma Music or somewhere like that.
Am I allowed to still say Oriental Gifts?
No, you're not.
You're not allowed to. No.
Did they change the name of the store?
Oh, there's a store called Oriental Gifts.
There used to be.
At Washington Square Mall. Yeah,
of course.
Of course
it's at Washington Square Mall.
They sold, and am I allowed to say this? Chinese stars.
Oh, yeah.
The Chinese throwing stars.
Throwing stars. They sold nunchucks.
I think the Chinese prefer keeping their name on that for sure.
They had the round balls you would roll in your hand.
I wanted to forget
to
what
which
those
I may
calls.
Have been an owner of a pair of
I'm sure you did.
Balls.
I knew you had your devil sticks.
But I was not a samurai sword owner. There was no way I could put together $95.
I know. I always wanted one bad.
I'm gonna get the one from Highlander. I think that's the one I want.
Boating balls.
I deserve. What are they called?
boating balls?
Because you're boating?
Or baoding. B-A-O-D-I-N-G.
Yeah. I think it's bow. Bowding.
And the idea is that they're not supposed to make any noise. Is that right, Jeff?
I don't know. I was like fucking 12, dude. I don't know.
You were 12 with a set of those?
Yeah.
Did you have a ponytail?
I had a mullet that, since I have super curly hair, just looked like a big ball of pubes hanging off the back
of
my neck.
Lucky. The rest of us had to get perms in the back in the 80s. Yeah, no. Jesus.
I had a butterfly knife that I got at Oriental Gifts that I brought to my friend Becky's 8th grade party and was flipping it around in the corner because... You know, like I was a shark or a jet just hanging out at a party. And her father, the police officer, came up and confiscated my butterfly knife.
But he didn't, because I'm pretty sure they were illegal, weren't they?
I don't. I'm not sure, but he didn't like me having it. And I don't know why I even had it. Like, you know, like that was going to bring the ladies in. Hey, look at Jeff over there with flipping around the butterfly knife all dangerously and uncoordinated.
The balls going.
I think if you grew up in a small town, there was always the one guy who was in his early 20s, that weird guy that walked around with nunchucks in his back pocket. Like, he was just always walking around town. You saw him every time you left the house, he was just walking around town with those nunchucks. And a comb, long, like one of those long-handled combs in the other pocket.
Hey. Now, by the time I was doing that transition from middle school to high school, it was a kid who actually just like had his dad's snub-nosed 38.
Oh, really?
And he would pull that out sometimes thinking it was cool. And then he went through a little period where he was like pointing at people. And then, interesting enough, one time he went to go pull, he shot himself in the chest.
Really?
Almost died. Yeah, it was actually pretty funny. You actually ended up shooting himself in the chest with his own "I'm going to scare you" gun. I think that's karma.
Was this a friend of yours?
No, we weren't friends.
This was the town weirdo.
People, Jeff, he had no friends. He had people who were scared of him.
But like, was he bringing it to school? Like, where were you encountering Pistol Boy?
No, he would just sort of roam around the interior area of the Westfield area.
Well, we had a party one time. I threw a party, and my senior year, I didn't live with my parents. I just lived with a friend of mine who was like 23 or 24. His dad lived in Mississippi, so it was me, him, and then two other guys I went to high school with, living in this giant house. And I was out in the country, so I threw this party when the homeowner friend was going to visit his dad. So he was a straight and narrow guy. My parents trusted him, whatever, for good reason. But when he left town, boom, we threw this huge party. And just like every other country party, like once word got out, it went from like a guest list of 20 to everyone in the school and neighboring schools showed up. And I mean, we filled his front. He had probably a 5-acre lot. The whole front yard was full of cars. Well, the one weirdo guy that always, for some reason, had to take his shirt off early into the party is there. He has, like, homemade tattoos, you know, that guy. And he gets all pissed off for some reason. I think someone told him he couldn't be at the party or something. Whips out his butterfly knife, starts going, you know, scaring people with it or whatever. And my one buddy, Sean, who's now a police chief, walks out. He has a beer in his hand, just walks out, and he sees it. And I mean, he looks at me and my buddy Mike, and then he looks back at the butterfly knife guy, back at me and Mike, sets his beer down on the step by the door, walks up and does a spinning bat kick, like, and kicks the knife out of the guy's hand so far that it flies onto the neighbor's property across the fence.
Oh my God.
The guy just looks like in amazement. Everybody just stops.
And the guy he just met his hero.
Leaves the party. And then we're all like, Sean, we didn't know you knew karate. And he's like, I don't know karate. I never done that before in my life.
Oh, my God.
We're like, oh, that was the most epic party move we've ever seen in our lives.
That's his move. He sees a guy with a butterfly knife, and he's like, I'm trying that spin kick. I'm going for it.
Karate Kid was big then, you know, like whatever. He just did the spinning back kick that he probably practiced in the garage for years, and whack.
Was he wearing just a tight-ass pair of jeans, too?
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's all we wore then, you know, and they were probably cuffed at the bottom.
Yep, acid wash, bad boys.
To even limit flexibility even more. Yeah, it was incredible. There was another guy that he had a glass eye, and he was.
Why is that funny?
It's only funny.
Things happen.
Because he was our walk around town guy with the nunchucks, right? He's always working on his nunchuck skills. Aww. And I remember one day.
Wait, this is a guy with bad depth perception working nunchucks?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And he's probably 24. We're just beyond. I think I was a freshman, still having to ride the bus guy. So we're on the bus. And we're sitting there, and he used to always want to showcase when the bus was at the bus stop by his house, you know? So he'd get out in his front yard, and he would, and he was working the nunchucks. And one day, and he, right this day, he swung it around, and as soon as he tucked it in his arm, and under his arm, he did like his little stance, his fucking glass eye popped out. He's like he exhaled or something, and he forgot, I don't know, he held the breath in or something, and then boom, his glass eye popped. And he's like trying to find it in the yard, and we're just laughing our ass off.
Oh my God.
That also happens when you blow in the butthole.
Yeah.
Oh my eye.
Jeez. Gosh.
Yeah, ladies with glass eyes, do not try that tampon trick.
Yeah.
Or at least close your eyes before you try it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, how many times does your eyeball have to fall out?
Yeah, I imagine it wasn't a good one. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It was just
probably bought
an acorn with a painting on it.
I think he bought it at Oriental Gifts. It had a little dragon in the middle.
You could hear a slight ring when you get going too much.
Yeah. They had a case of glass eyes on the back.
No, these are all good. These are all, we washed them. They're good.
Do you guys remember, like, growing up when there was, like, and maybe I'm assuming this was, like, a falsity, but that if you held your eyes open when you sneezed, your eyes would, like, pop out of your head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, I believed it when I was a kid. I wasn't about to try it.
I
sure
so believed it.
I think it's fine to just assume it's true and not try it, you know, because what if you're wrong?
I think the thing is you can't, right?
It's physically impossible or something.
Yeah, unless somebody were to put clamps in there or something. But I think that's why how this thing got started, this legend got started, because you
now,
can't
hang on.
Physically.
I used to be able to get my eyes and go in two different directions when I was little. Let's see if I can do it again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's disgusting.
What? Oh, what are you talking about, guys?
Dude, you have to do a Columbo. Like.
And one more thing. What? One more thing.
Dude, I would do that 24/7 if I had that talent. I'll be honest. Yeah. I have practiced to try to do that.
There was always the guy on the bus, the kid on the bus that could flip his eyelids inside out real easy.
Mm-hmm.
Just like flicking his finger real fast. Gross all the girls out. Yeah. But Austin, nobody can top that skill. You were probably the most popular kid in your school.
I wasn't. I was not.
What was a young Austin like? What was eighth grade Austin like?
Oh, eighth grade Austin. So I used to skateboard.
Mm. Yeah.
So I basically obliterated my arm. I decided that wasn't worth it anymore. I had a cast on my arm for like, I think we've talked about this before, like 18 weeks.
Yeah.
I just shattered like this whole part here.
Wow.
Pretty gnarly. Yeah. Read some comic books. I don't know. Fucked around.
Yeah.
I probably wasn't a lot of fun to hang out. I mean, I was an eighth grader. I probably sucked no matter how cool it was.
Straight A's.
Oh, no.
No? I figured you made real good grades.
I mean, I got good grades. I probably could have done a lot better. I just got bored in school a lot. And then it's like I was one of those kids that knew adults were just they were probably just as dumb as me. They're just older and have more money. I didn't take me long to figure that out. So
I just learned that last year. This morning.
It took me so long. Jess, what were you like in eighth grade?
Played sports. Mm-hmm. Tried to do, I guess not a goody-goody, but...
Were you
I'd get in trouble, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Were you like the fellowship of Christian athlete type?
I would do
girl?
FCA, every organization I could be a part of. I kind of would get along with every little group, whether it be like a farmer, athletes, some of the juggalos, you know, your little.
You hung out with juggalos?
I had friends that were juggalos.
Oh, nice.
I was accepted. Really? Indeed.
Jeff, do you know juggalo music?
There's like one song, I think.
Like if I put on some juggalos, you would be like,
Cotton
oh,
Candy.
That's one? ICP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think I'd recognize anything besides that Cotton Candy song.
They bought, Faygo big where you're from?
Yeah, they bought Faygo, right?
Yeah, Faygo was their thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
What were you like, Todd?
I was a kid, like if it was warm out, I was playing ball. Like I was lucky in eighth grade. Every kid in the neighborhood was within 2 years of me, younger or older. Yeah. So we were able to field an entire like baseball game, almost like 9-on-9. It was awesome. So we just, you know, every day on the weekend, we were there till, you know, dusk to dawn. And parents would have to run us home and play in the dark.
It was like the Sandlot without any of the charm or pluckiness.
But also it was a little, I guess you would say, immature for my age because I still had this thing like I still liked my action figures, but I wouldn't tell anybody about it. You know
oh,
what
yeah,
I mean?
Me
like,
too.
I kept them tucked away in my closet and I'd get them out at night and play with them still or whatever because I was scared like my other friends would make fun of me if they knew. So, yeah, I still had a lot of nerd in me.
Now, like, how silly is it? Because I remember around, like, fifth grade, all of a sudden it wasn't cool to have action figures anymore, and everyone was, like, super into sports. But now as an adult, I'm like, wow, you obsessed about a game you had no shot of ever participating in. Like, whatsoever. Like, the NBA professional sports was never going to happen for you, but you, like, you thought it was. You spent a lot of money on jerseys and shoes to try and jump higher and everything. You're just... You're a 5'4 white kid from the suburbs. It was never going to happen for you.
I love to draw, too. I was pretty good. My dad was a really good cartoonist, and I was pretty good at art. I mean, I was an art major in high school, but I liked drawing superheroes and shit
Todd,
like that.
You and I would have hit it off big time.
I know,
time.
We would have.
Like, if I could go back in time, I mean, not now. I wouldn't want to hang out with 8th grade Todd now. That'd be weird. Who's Todd's older weird friend with that phone thing he's always got? I could Doc Brown you. I'd go back and Doc Brown Todd.
How about you, Jeff? What were you doing in 8th grade?
Oh, I was just a big fucking dork.
Yeah.
I was always like the youngest one in my class, like mentally and like age wise, so maturity wise. So I was, I don't know, outside playing, riding my bike, talking to girls who didn't want me talking to them. I used to ride my bike like 6 miles over to this girl's house in our class who didn't have the nerve to be like, don't ride your bike over here and hang out with me for an hour. Like, I was that dork. I was, I don't know, like, I wanted to be good at sports, but I wasn't. Like, I was tall and lanky and uncoordinated and just awkward. I was like Napoleon Dynamite without the confidence, the charm, the any of it. Like, I was a late bloomer.
I get it. I get it. I was always. I was never like a bike kid, like everybody else. And I think almost all dude eighth graders are really into riding their bikes. Like they'll ride for miles, right?
Oh, yeah.
To a friend's house or whatever. I fucking hated it. I don't know why. I'm like, this is so stupid. Why don't we just ask our parents to drive us to where we want to go? You know, drop us off. It never made any sense to me. And I think part of it was I never had the right bike. Like my dad never got it. like he didn't know about bikes. So it took me, I didn't realize until probably I was in high school, almost driving and looked back at my childhood. I'm like, yeah, like my bike had these tiny short cranks, you know, for the pedals. Like, and everybody else had like mongooses and red lines with the big long, like, you know what? I was like pedaling three times as hard as everybody else because I had the shitty Huffy bike with the short cranks and I couldn't keep up with everybody. So maybe if I would have had a better bike, I would have enjoyed it more. But
pegs? Did you have pegs?
No.
Oh, yeah. I had pegs.
I had nothing cool.
There's nothing cooler than getting a ride on a bike with pegs. Like, yeah. I was a chosen girl. It's probably like getting on a motorcycle with a guy, but.
Oh, yeah.
Never did
I'm guessing
that.
You were trim as a girl, because that's who that ride was offered to.
Oh,
that's sounds like a dick, but a lot of big girls were riding on pegs.
Unless you liked wheelies.
That's shitty.
That's real shitty.
Dude, me and my best friend, I got like a 12-speed bike when I was like in 7th or 8th grade, and me and my friend during the summer would put like water in our water bottles, stick it on our bikes. We would leave at like 8 in the morning and come back for dinner. Like just go ride the numbered roads out behind my neighborhood. My parents never, ever gave a shit. That's weird. Like I would never, there's no way I would let my kid just, hey, I'm going riding for the day. I'll see you later. All right, 13-year-old Elijah, have a great day.
Yeah.
No cell phones, no pay phones out where I lived. Like it was just corn country. Like
really.
And nothing ever happened. Obviously I'm fucking here, but I can't believe two 11-year-old kids. Yeah, we'll see you in 8 hours. Bye.
I know. I mean, that was just the way the world worked. I mean, we would get up as soon as we woke up. Like I would always at my cousin's house usually, or he was at my house, and we would just take off on bikes and or walk, and we just wouldn't come back until dark. Bam. Nobody, no way to check on you. Nothing. Like.
No one gave a shit.
I know. They, like our parents would go to jail today.
Yeah.
They were that neglectful. I mean,
we would set out for missions we couldn't achieve. Like if a girl came over to my house and we'd ride in the country, from my house to the second cover bridge would have been like, I don't know, 6 miles, 7 miles. I can't
do
math.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a zigzag through cornfields. And eventually you get there and you're like, great, now how do we get back?
Oh,
and I think after a certain time period, one of the parents of ours were just kind of take the route we would because we tell them where we were going.
Right.
Like, where's the furthest point? We're going to the covered bridge.
Yeah.
And so they would just be like, hey, are you okay? And they'd come and find us, I think, because they got worried.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have phones, but that's the closest to checking up as they could do. But we're two girls.
Right.
Yeah. And some of them farmers with their big trucks and their big fields. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
But your parents let you do it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would never let my kid do that now.
I know. I was the same way with my kid. Yeah. I never let him go outside of eye shot, you know? Like, even our little neighborhood, I'd be like, you can only ride on this street. I don't even want you taking the loop all the way around. I can't see you on that street, you know? Yeah. And I just think, man, we used to freaking – sometimes, I mean, we would probably go 20 miles some days, you know, total ride distance. I mean, it was crazy. And then you would just pop in and out of people's houses you didn't know or whatever, you know? Just crazy.
It's called breaking
and
entering.
Do you need some lemonade? Oh, yeah. I was thinking they offered you like water. Yeah. Come and invest, boys. Here's some cookies.
I always had a complex too when I was younger because I was real skinny and my dad was this like freaking awesome athlete. Like he was a boxer in the Marine Corps. Like, so he was always shredded and he was, you know, good at every sport and all that. You like, everybody's like, look at your dad. And I'm like this runt skinny. I'm like, oh, fuck you guys, man. It drove me crazy. I think that's like when I got older, why I got into working out so hard because my dad made me feel so bad about myself physically for most of my childhood.
Oh, dude, my dad was like, I mean, he couldn't like itch his back. Like his muscles were so big.
You hate it?
And I was like, 6 foot from the time I was in fifth grade, and I weighed 120 pounds when I graduated high school. Like, I could not put on a muscle to save my fucking life. And he's just walking around with, like, the muscle on top of the muscle on top of the muscle kind of thing. And I was just like, when's that happened for me?
I know, right?
Never. That was the answer. Never. He's still that way. He's 72, could whoop my ass.
Really?
Oh, yeah. In a heartbeat. One-handed.
Oh,
easily.
My God.
He's got huge old mitts. He would just paw me like a bear and just knock my ass around.
Did you guys see Darius Leonard for the Colts? Did you see what happened to him last week?
Oh, no.
Or last game?
The wedding ring?
Yeah, he threw his gloves in celebration out to fans in the crowd and didn't realize that his wedding band had come off in the left one and threw it. So I didn't even follow up on if he found it or not or whatever.
The kid who got the gloves, he found it, and his uncle – I don't know why I just air quoted uncle, because it was really
older
his uncle
man that brought him to the game.
his uncle works for the Bleacher Report, and they posted a picture of him holding the ring and was like, "Hey, we got your ring," and he's like, "Hey, I need that back, yo."
Right.
And so they're sending it back to
him. You can buy it on eBay.
I have offers of $1,000 for this ring. What's your offer there, Darius?
I think it's hilarious that Vladimir Putin took Bob Kraft's Super Bowl ring. I think that's fucking hilarious.
Wait, what is this?
So Bob Kraft had Vladimir Putin over to, I guess, the Foxborough Stadium or whatever, and showed him his Super Bowl, one of his Super Bowl rings, and he let Vladimir Putin hold it, and he took it.
What?
Was he like, can I have that back?
Yeah, he assumed it was a gift.
He's like, well, I don't want to tell him I need it back. I'm kind of scared of him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think
you have it back.
You don't want to be taking back what Vladimir Putin thinks is a gift from Vladimir Putin. I mean, this guy.
I did radio at a different radio station one day. This was years ago. And there was this guy. His name was like Zupanzik or something. Yeah,
Tom Zupanzik used to be the strength coach for the Colts.
And he was sitting next to, he was on air while I was on air, you know, because that's how popular I am. I'm on air with the strength coach from the Colts. And he had a Super Bowl ring. And I was like, oh my God, that's a Super Bowl ring. He goes, you want to wear it while we're on the air? And I was like, hell yeah. And that thing was heavy as shit.
I bet.
That thing was like wearing, like, I don't know.
A Super
it was
Bowl
heavy as shit.
I guarantee you could have got two fingers in there. He's a huge
man. I had to keep my finger bent so it wouldn't fall off.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I put it on my thumb. Like, that's how, and dude, there was still a ton of room.
This guy, I was in high school. And he came out to do some kind of motivational speech, you know, in the auditorium. So we're all sitting in there, and there's all this weight equipment laid out because he's like a, I don't know, world record holder power lifter or whatever back in the day. So he starts doing this speech, and he was talking about leading by example or whatever. And he goes, well, since I am the strength and conditioning coach for the Indianapolis Colts, I figure that in order to lead by example, I need to be able to out bench press any player in the NFL. So today, the most weight benched by an NFL player last season was like 405 pounds or something. So he's like, so I'm going to put 415 pounds on the bar and see if I can do it once. And he's like, it's going to be tough. You guys are like, I'm going to need your help. So when I bring it down, if you see me just like wiggle my toe or blink my eyes real fast, some little gesture like that, you need to go crazy and just start screaming as loud as you can in order to get me motivated so I can get this up. And we're like, okay. And this guy's huge, right? He has no neck. He's just huge. So he gets the weight off the bar, and it's so much. It's doing the bend, you know, and the ends are bouncing. So he brings it down to his chest, and then he takes his hands off the bar and starts clapping. So we all go nuts, and then he puts his hands back on it and pushes it up like no problem and racks it back on the bench. It was the most impressive thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy.
But his heart is so bruised.
Right? Yeah, it was nuts, dude.
But how many phone books did he rip in half? Where the real strength conditioning.
He did rip a phone book. Yes. Oh, yeah. He just sat there.
My brother can do that.
Really?
Yeah, it's just a trick. All you got to do is when you, like, I got half of one time. When you go to do it, like, you know, the phone book's got the top of it. It's like a brick shape, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it's pages. So what you do is you kind of push them forward to, I don't know how, like, you know, like when you spread out a deck of cards. And then when you rip it, you're only ripping like 10 pages at a time. And that's how you go through it.
Nice.
That man is a charlatan.
I bet those weren't even the real 14 license plates and the Pinto he ripped in half.
Yeah.
He also lifted the a car with his neck. They put this harness around the back of his neck, and it was on the back of this car that they brought into the school in the gymnasium, and he, like, lifted it off the ground where you could see daylight under the tires. Jeez. And then dropped it back.
Dude, where was he the last time I got flat on 465, right? Huh? Right, guys?
And that man died when he was 53 years old.
We never had like any cool school assemblies. Like, I don't remember anyone ever coming in and motivating me to do better.
Oh, really? We had this crazy football coach, and his name was Coach Fussell. He came from Munster, Indiana, and he was kind of like grew up kind of a thug type dude. So we never had anybody like that in our little country school before. And he's the one that brought him in. He was always doing crazy shit like that. But the dude was so – Coach Fussell was so, like, not PC. It was – even back then in the 80s, which was crazy. But like,
Jesus Christ, Coach.
He was doing radio one time.
What was he doing? Like, I don't even want to know what he was doing.
It wasn't, like, harsh stuff. He just kind of out of ignorance. Like, he was just kind of a dummy, you know, just kind of a meathead. So he's – I remember he's doing radio one time before, like, pregame stuff. And the local high school, you know, radio personality guy was like, you know, so what do you think about the running back for LaPel High School, you know, Rodriguez? He's having a good year. And he goes, Rodriguez? I didn't know they let exchange students play football. And we were like, what? But
oh, my God.
He just has a Hispanic last name, Coach.
Oh, my God.
And also, we did let our foreign exchange students play athletics at our high school. We had a girl from Spain who played soccer with us, and she was very good.
We had a field goal kicker one year he was from Spain. He was a soccer player. And they had no idea what football was. They just, like, converted him because he could kick a soccer ball like crazy. Yeah.
We had two kids from the Latin America countries somewhere. I don't know where. Come out for soccer. And we're like, oh, shit, this is going to be awesome. And they fucking sucked. They were the worst, and I've never been more racially upset in my life that these guys didn't live up to a stereotype. They're like, are you fucking kidding me? You suck at soccer? Like, that's all you guys have down in fucking Ecuador or wherever the fuck you're from. Like,
we had this hot-ass exchange student from Norway. I want to say she was from Norway or whatever, but she was, I think she was like 19 or 20. Like, so she, I mean, she was a woman basically, and she was so smoking hot. And I mean, she was in my Spanish class when I was a freshman, and she used to scare the shit out of me. She was so hot and so she was banging everybody. Like, she was so,
what?
I mean,
what?
Oh yeah. I mean, like all the stud guys in the school is
teachers
and
stuff.
Yeah, probably. And I remember she used to flirt with me all the time, and I was this little skinny freshman, man. And I was just like, I know she was just trying to give me a boner to embarrass me, probably. You know what I mean? Like, but I was so scared all the time of her. And she would just single me out. Always wanted to be my partner and stuff. And she had this thing where she'd rub on your arm and stuff. And you're like, ah, just stop. I'm terrified. But she, it was unbelievable. Yeah.
We actually had a foreign exchange student live at my house for a year.
Oh, really?
And let me tell you this. They don't give you hot chicks.
Oh.
A family full of boys.
My name is Gunther.
My mom was like, hey, we're getting a foreign exchange student. And we're like, finally, what is her name? And my mom's like, what are you talking? Yeah, yeah. I'm going to bring a woman, a girl into this mess. No.
Oh,
but our foreign exchange student was from Colombia, and his father was the governor of Santa Marta or somewhere like that.
Oh, really?
Where's that on the map behind you, Oscar? You could point it out.
Yeah, can you show us Colombia?
We didn't even mention you have a world map as your background.
Don't have any
little bit down there. That's pretty close-ish. There you go.
Boom.
But he. His dad was the governor of the city and apparently had pissed off some of the cartel. So all of the kids got sent out of the country at once to America, to different spots because like his cousin or his brother got ran off a mountain road and died. So all the family got moved up and he lived with us and we were a lower middle class, shouldn't be taking any care, couldn't take care of us. Don't know why we brought in another one.
Right.
And, but his dad, like he had his own like debit card or credit card thing. And he had like $1,500 a week put onto his debit card.
Holy shit.
He's probably writing his brothers, dear Manuel, everything you heard about America is a lie. These people are barely surviving.
Frozen chicken nuggets every night.
But the best part was we had like my grandparents' console TV they had given us when they got a better TV in our family room. He had bought a large screen TV and had it up in his bedroom at our house. Like, he had nicer furniture in the bedroom and nicer electronics.
He got a little Scarface up in the guest room.
His bedroom is all decked out. He's got a leather couch. He's got
like $200 shoes.
Oh, my God.
He would go shopping at the mall and just all new clothes every week. And like just
He's got a butler in his room.
Oh, dude, it was.
Alejandro is not available today, Jeff. Please.
Did your mom have to do his laundry, or did she have to take it to dry cleaning?
No, I think she did it. And he loved UB40. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
To this day, I cannot hear Red Red Wine without me wanting to punch Beto in his fucking face.
Beto? Was this Beto O'Rourke?
No, it was Beto from Colombia.
My best friend in seventh grade was from Brazil, and he was the older of three brothers that got adopted by this older couple that had a lot of money up our way, and I forget the story, but it was something like they came from a rich, well-off family in Brazil, but his dad got in trouble for something. I want to say it was like his dad had killed his mom or something but didn't go to prison for it, but there was some kind of trouble. And then so they get adopted, and I remember – God, I can't remember his name now. But he would come over and spend the night all the time. But he was a couple years older than everybody else just because of the situation, you know. So he didn't speak English well enough when he first came over. So he was, like, held back or whatever.
But he threw a hell of a fastball.
Yeah. And I got into it with this – there was this one scary-ass kid that always wore, like, Megadeth shit or whatever. You know, like one of those kids that scared the shit out of you because he was also, like, 2 years older than everybody else, held back for other reasons. And, man, one day he had it out for me. And all day long, everybody's like, McComas, dude, he's going to kick your ass, dude. He is after you, whatever. And I'm like, what the fuck? He's like, will you talk to his girlfriend, whatever, and in our class? And I'm like, Jesus Christ, whatever. Like, I don't want to be with his girlfriend. So all day I'm avoiding him or whatever. And he corners me in the locker room after gym class, and I'm like, oh, this is it. I'm about to take my fucking ass beating. And my buddy from Brazil comes out of nowhere, front kick, like he knows karate or some kind of Brazilian martial arts.
Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah. Kicks this dude in the stomach and makes him cry. And awesome. I'm like, oh, my God. This is awesome.
The amount of just natural roundhouse talent you're surrounded with, Don, is insane.
In Shelbyville.
Yeah, out in the middle of the corn country.
Is there like a dojo somewhere in Shelbyville or like... You guys have a kumite that no one knows about?
It was amazing. I was like, I had no idea. He's like, oh, everybody in Brazil knows this, whatever
so
it was.
Many of your life moments have been salvaged by someone flying out of nowhere doing a karate kick.
And then there came the kick. Oh,
I bet Karate Kid did fucking resonate like a motherfucker with you. Like, yes, finally. Great. Somebody come in here and kick this guy for me.
People that listen to me and from Heartland Radio know this story pretty well. But I moved to Texas the summer after my junior year. My dad got relocated. So we had to move there. And my parents thought they were going to make me stay in Texas for my senior year. Wasn't going to happen. It was a huge high school. Longview High School is like the biggest high school in East Texas. Matthew McConaughey went to school there. It was a year ahead of me. I'm like, I'm not going.
Wait, you went to school with Matthew McConaughey?
Almost, like this close. We would have been best friends for sure, but it didn't happen.
He's got a fucking hell of a natural roundhouse on him,
right?
He can do a scissor kick or something.
But I was like, I'm not going to school here. Like their football stadium was cut like a dome, cut into a hillside. Yeah. Everybody on the started for the baseball team went to a Division I college. You know, the next year, I'm like, I'm not even going to get to play baseball. I worked my entire year to be shortstop. I'm going back to Indiana. Well, for the summer, they knew I was so miserable because I left all my friends there, whatever. My mom signs me up to take taekwondo. I always wanted to take taekwondo, and she signs me up. And I go to this little studio, and it's the most bullshit thing I've ever seen. It was this Korean instructor, and it was only me and this 9-year-old kid. This 9-year-old kid in the class. We're the only two students in there, and I'm just finished my junior year of high school. And I was a wrestler and stuff, whatever. And I could see, this is bullshit. He doesn't even really know taekwondo, or he sucks at it, one of the two. So I'm sitting in there, and he's like, yeah, I teach all disciplines because I went to a Korean school where we learn all the martial arts. So he's like, have you ever taken him before? I was like, I don't know. I wrestled. And he's like, oh, I teach wrestling. So it's just me and this 9-year-old kid. It's like, okay. So he wrestles me, and I fucking destroy this guy. I mean, he has no idea what he's doing. I embarrass the shit out of him in front of his 9-year-old student. I'm just thrashing him to the point where it's embarrassing. I'm not even trying. And I'm like, I quit, bro. I quit. So he was only left with the 9-year-old student. Afterwards.
I was waiting for this 9-year-old to fuck you up.
That's embarrassing.
Oh, man. That's terrible.
I was going to ask if you had to take in a martial art at some point, right?
Oh, I've taken a fuck ton of them.
Right?
Yeah. So I did karate when I was a kid, and then I got into Muay Thai when I was in middle school, and then I started doing taekwondo, and then I did jiu-jitsu and Krav Maga.
Jesus.
Yeah, dude. Ooh. I dropped a kid my very first tournament. I knocked a kid out fucking standing. This kid's eyes rolled back up into his head and he hit the ground. I busted his teeth out of the front of his mouth.
What?
It was horrifying. It was not cool. That's why
Cobra Kai.
No, dude, I was like, if Daniel LaRusso could actually beat Johnny Lawrence in a real fight like that. It was horrible.
How did you knock someone's teeth out? Like, aren't
I back
wearing,
kicked
like...
him right in the fucking face. Right where all of his teeth are, Jeff. That's where I planted my heel straight into his fucking head. See, and what's great is this is my first taekwondo tournament. I think I was about 14. and they put you in groups, and they have all these mats out, and they have rows of chairs, and everyone in your group sits in a row, and then they take a group and they put them all in the different mats so they can go. And then when there's room, you move up a row, and then they're only addressing that front row because that's everyone who's like going to fight each other. No one's supposed to be over there. No teachers, nothing. You just sit there all together. This shitbag's white trash family comes over and starts talking shit to all of us. They're trying to talk this kid up. He had the highest belt in the group. And the only thing I'm thinking is like, yeah, we're all a bunch of yellow belts, dude. I've been fucking kicking people in the face for fucking the past 6 years, dude. I'm about to work you over. But his family is talking shit to me and this other kid. There's three of us.
You're about to go down, motherfucker.
Yeah. It was that kind of thing. Like, they ain't shit. Look, you got the higher belt. You got this sealed. I'm like, okay. Me and the kid, we had the lower belt, so we had to fight. This kid got a bye because he had a little stripe on his belt. Mm. They're talking so much shit about us. The first kid, I just worked. Like, it's Taekwondo's a point-based system. It was like 14 to nothing. Like, eventually, I'm just tapping this kid because I'm like, oh, you've never really done any sparring or anything. When they brought that kid out on the mat, he looked scared.
Mm-hmm.
He looked like, oh, no. And then he did, like, a little, as soon as they said go, like, the little, you know, karate kid, boop.
Uh-huh.
He did a little fake thing at me. Dude, I ripped back around and buried my heel right in this kid's mouth, and it just dropped. I mean, I looked over my shoulder, and I saw his eyes roll up into his head, and he didn't even fall over. He just collapsed on the ground like a fucking slinky. Fell straight down. It was pretty scary, though. Like, I can laugh about it now because, like, they got him and his teeth up off the ground, but I thought I killed the kid. I'm not going to lie. I thought I really, really hurt him.
Whoa. What happens if you do murder someone at
Well, you sign this? A waiver, so basically I would be a haunted 14-year-old, and that family would be devastated. The next tournament I was in, I felt so bad. The kid, there was only one kid I matched up with for weight class, and before the kid's dad was yelling at him, being like, you're really going to try this time. And I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And that kid I kicked in the neck and he quit.
Can you get their shins? Gosh, Austin, you're just like.
Yeah.
So the first kid, your very first move was to kick him in the teeth.
Dude, I shit you not. The match was like 8 seconds.
Yes.
That's 8 seconds with the ref acknowledging that he's unconscious. And then I got disqualified because you're not supposed to draw blood or knock anyone out. And meanwhile, there's an unconscious kid bleeding from the mouth.
You really got disqualified?
I would imagine the face is probably off limits in scoring Taekwondo matches.
You can hit the face. You should have blocked. That's his fault.
Yeah, so I got third place. I worked all those kids over, and I got third place. They almost weren't going to give me a trophy.
Mm. When that kid dropped, did you, like, turn and point at his parents? Like,
I'm not a monster, Jesus.
You stood over him, holding your balls.
Yeah, my mom was, like, horrified. She was the one. My dad was supposed to take me to it, but she was the one who ended up going, and she had, like, she hadn't been coming to, like, pick me up from class or anything, so she didn't see what was going on. Yeah. And my teacher was legit. This dude was undefeated. He's been fighting since he was 8. He was about maybe 31 or 32. National champion. The dude fought like a video game character. He could like jump up in the air and kick you like 6 times before hitting the ground. It was insane. So he's like training just little assassins to go out into the world. But yeah. That's why in high school, man, when people would want to fight, I'd always be like, guys, you have no idea how quickly one of you can just lose all your teeth. Oh,
while the rest of you have been playing, I've been honing my skills.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with me.
And therefore, you ended up not having to fight very often, right?
Yeah, I didn't. And in fact, it was kind of funny because like everyone always did, you know, I mean, I played lacrosse in high school, but we'd always play football and stuff, and kids would know I went and did that after school, and every once in a while some kid would really want to like fuck with me until eventually I was like, all right, well, let's do it. And then they usually didn't want to follow through at that point.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes who talk shit just don't really want to follow through with it. If you're like, okay,
right.
Where are we hitting? You have a
mouth
guard?
That's why I like my son taking it is more for the confidence of not having to worry about whoever comes up.
Yeah, that's the whole reason for doing it.
Hey, we can fight. You don't want to. Like, I don't want to fight you, but if...
And honestly, what it's going to give you is just, like, I have no doubt that there's some dude who's never been to a karate class out there that would just work me over. The only thing I think I have is I might be able to get punched once or twice without panicking. You know, I think that third punch I'll be crying, but...
That's like jiu-jitsu, really, why it's so beautiful, because you get so used to being miserable and being like in positions where you can't breathe and like someone smothering your face or choke. Like, you get so comfortable with it, you would never panic. So your son, like, if he were to ever have to get in a fight, he's never going to panic, because those rolling sessions are grueling.
Dude, brutal. The best
I
grew
up, like, the first 10 times I did jiu-jitsu. Right, it was
And he does it with he hasn't since COVID hit, but he was rolling with nothing but adults for one of the classes. And, man, they would just lay on him. And I'd be like, dude, make a move. And he goes, he's an adult laying on him. But the key was, it wouldn't freak him out. You know what I mean? Like, he never got panicked. He could, like, you know, at least protect himself. And that's what I wanted was... Yeah, when you do have somebody on your back choking you out, not freaking out, not losing what you need to do to stop him from choking you out. And keeping a clear mind.
When I was like 14, my sparring partner was like a 27-year-old like bank executive dude who was a lineman for like the University of Nebraska. This guy was gigantic. And I swear to God, it felt like I was just punching granite. Like, the dude just did not matter. Like, I was way faster than him. And I was so intimidated by this guy to one time that I caught him one time. And then after class, he was like, you know, man, I get nervous about sparring with you sometimes because I feel like you hit me like 6 or 7 times before I even move. And that was such a confidence builder for me that after then, I was like, I don't care how, dude, big dudes. I want to give a little PSA out to all the little people out there. Fuck big dudes. Big dudes are cowards. They never fight anybody. You ever have a big dude challenge you to fight, tell him to fuck off and tell him to meet in the parking lot. He won't come. He won't come. Big dudes don't fight anybody.
I always wonder what it's like, you know, two of my good friends are Matt Michonne and Chris Lytle. They both fought UFC, Bellator. Like, to be like one of the most elite, like, toughest motherfuckers on the planet has to be such a relief. So the weight off your shoulders, because, like, literally they could beat up everyone they encounter. Yeah. Like, they never, ever, ever, ever have to worry about, oh, that guy's looking at me weird. You know what I mean? Right. Or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I sparred with Chris Lytle, and he literally, not hitting me back, just said, just hit me. Just swing as hard as you can. I could not hit him. Like, with boxing gloves on, I'm just swinging. And he just, you know, he can just move. He was a professional boxer before he was an MMA fighter. So I was like, this is incredible. Like, I could not make contact with his face. And he wasn't, like, running around. He was just bobbing his head and moving his hips. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. And then to, like, Matt Mitrione, he's a heavyweight, but just playing around, hit me in the arm one time, and I've never felt anything like that in my life. It was literally like you swinging a baseball bat.
Now,
I mean,
I would like to amend my PSA that if anyone talking shit to you looks like you might have seen them on TV or you've recognized an action figure that looks like them,
just look
if they have a crowbar in their back, truck, something.
Just look at their ear. If they have cauliflower ear, just walk away.
That's exactly it. I'm so glad I didn't get cauliflower ear. I'm really happy about that because I can have a decent, warm conversation with people.
Sean Latham used to say instead of training, he was just going to buy fake cauliflower ears and wear them to the bars.
Silly putty up his ears.
Because nobody will fuck with you.
Dude, when we were growing up on Friday nights, my dad, we would take my mom's nice living room, not the family room, but like the room with the furniture you aren't allowed to sit on.
Uh-huh.
And we would move it all out into the hallway. And we had two sets of boxing gloves, and my dad would get down on his knees and he would box you.
Right.
And me and my brothers. And then after we would all box with them individually, everyone would put on one glove and we would wrestle my dad. And you were allowed to hit with the gloved hand, but you couldn't punch with the bare hand.
Oh, I like those rules.
And like kind of pre-MMA before it was, you know, before we knew what it was. Right. And we loved doing it, except for every Friday night would end with one of us crying because we got popped and we started crying, you know.
Yeah. That's how it.
So one of the last Friday nights that we ever did it, my dad pops me right in the nose. Just crying. Like, I go over in the corner and I'm just laying crying, and my dad's fighting my two brothers. And I'm just over there. And I stand up in this rage, and he has his back to me and he's on his knees. And I come up from behind him and I reach back as far as I can and I swing this haymaker with all of my like 10-year-old might. And I connect on like the left side of his head, and immediately he goes down holding the right side of his head, and I had like dislocated his jaw.
Oh my God,
of course dad goes down, so we all jump on him because we're like, yay, we finally got him. With one hand with one hand he sweeps all three of us across the room like, get off of me.
Yeah.
And that was the last time we boxed, and I felt like such a goddamn man because I finally got that fucking asshole back. Just cracked him right in. Sucker punched him. He didn't see it coming. His back was to me. It couldn't have been a more unclean shot. I just leveled this old man.
I always have this whenever I'm sitting in bed at night and it's quiet and I have time to think, I always imagine that I could redo my childhood, go back in time and convince my parents like at age 6 to ship me to Brazil to some fighting camp. And I just live there until the UFC is created. And then I come back to America
and dominate that
and become Hoist Gracie. Yeah. That's my dream.
Jess, did you ever get in any scuffles?
No, if anything, it was on the courts or the field, like push a girl down or basketball, that kind of stuff. I was too busy playing not real sports, but like sports with balls, basically.
Right. The goal wasn't really to punch somebody in the face.
Yeah, I mean, I probably should have, but like soccer was really good for my aggression. You get to release some of that angst or whatever. And I would try gymnastics, but I wasn't flexible. Like, I didn't stretch enough, so when I was building muscle, it's like, oh, I just fell over, I didn't do a back bend, whatever.
Right.
But I wish I would have taken jiu-jitsu or something. Even now, I have a friend that her and her daughters do it, because it's so great for self-defense. And she's like, well, if someone does try to attack you, I'm not scared because I've been, like, came at so many times from the sparring, I guess.
Krav Maga. If you're a girl, get into Krav Maga. I mean, jiu-jitsu's fine, but don't let it go to the ground. In a real situation, Krav Maga, opening move, ball kick. Second move, throat punch. They're not looking to fight. They're looking to drop people.
It's so brutal. Right. It's the Israeli special forces martial arts.
It is some efficient shit.
Oh, man. Well, every time I watch UFC with them, because they're our UFC friends, I'm like, okay, teach me a move. And she's like, all right, come at me like you're going to attack. And I'm like, ooh. She goes, no. Like, literally try to grab me. So I do. And next thing, within like 2 seconds, she does 8 million things. And I'm on the ground. I'm like, what just happened? Yeah. What did you do? So then I try to like prep to go for the next time. And I watch Ronan, which is not the same. Ronan's tactics. He's got like a knife. Ronan? And I'm like, well, if someone does attack me, I'm ready.
Wait.
He's like a Green Beret training.
Ronan? The Robert De Niro movie, Ronan?
I was like, Ronan? I don't even know. Donnie showed me him.
With Robert De Niro, you're talking about the 1990s movie, Ronan?
No, do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
No.
Oh, okay. You're talking about Hunted with Benicio del Toro.
No, it's oh.
Is that the guy's name? Is Ronan?
Yeah,
it's he's like Ronan, a self defense guy or something.
Ronan Tactics.
Oh, you're talking about Boss
Rutan.
Rutan.
Yeah, he shows how to fight in bars and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, he's awesome. Yeah.
I thought you were talking about. So I go put on that Robert De Niro espionage flick.
I thought his name was anyway. RonanTactics.com. Anyway, there's YouTube videos, and I'm watching those with Donnie, and I'm like, isn't the same thing. But I wish I had a knife so I could, you know.
One of my favorite comedy sketches of all time was from In Living Color when Jim Carrey was the women's self defense class instructor, and he's like, okay, and he hands the knife to the lady. He's like, all right, now come at me and try to stab me. And she goes underhand and stabs him right in the stomach. He's like, what are you doing? Who stabs? Like, you have to come over the top. Like, so everything had to be so scripted for his techniques to work. Oh, so funny. All right. Well, this has been a good one. This has been fun. Thanks, everybody, for the rating and the reviewing. Please keep doing that. Yeah. Please check out my website for some Tiger King shows, November 13th and 14th, if you live in Iowa. There's Cedar Rapids on the 13th of November and Dubuque, Iowa on the 14th. Me and Saf and Ranky and Josh Dial and Barb Fisher from Tiger King. Should be pretty, pretty cool.
Dubuque, the tri-states.
Right? Yeah, I love Iowa, by the way. Iowa, the people in Iowa are so much fucking fun.
Right?
Oh, we didn't even talk about Doc Antle and his stupid new reality show.
Oh, wait a minute. What is this? Oh, yeah. He definitely made that himself, right? Because I watched the trailer, and I'm like, it's so pro-Doc Antle.
We saw how you were behind the camera because they didn't edit it out.
Right.
I'm going to go up here now. Make sure you get this angle, okay? Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be the biggest bullshit thing ever. He's got so much money, though. Like, he made it himself, right? He's producing it. Has to be. No one would be so pro sex cult leadery, you know, as this group that's making this one.
Turd.
So stupid.
But go see Todd.
Yeah, it should be fun. Barb Fisher's going to be there. I guess she's real big in the second season of Netflix. She's a big part of that because it's focusing on Doc Antle and his little sex cults. You got quite the history, I guess. There's a lot more to that story they didn't tell in the first one that's coming out in the second one. Should be pretty cool. I guess, you know, Doc Antle was already like on track to be a cult leader before he even got involved in the animal thing. He was an understudy to a guy who had a yoga cult, like a legit cult, a sex cult.
Understudies. Okay, if I can't get these people to kill themselves, you can.
Yeah, he was the understudy to that guy.
He was the assistant manager to a sex cult?
Yes. So even if he had never met a tiger, he was going to start a branch of this guy's cult on his own. It was all like some kind of yoga therapy-based thing, but it was all about convincing.
Was he not hugged as a child?
Yeah, I don't think
so. You gotta watch Yoga Dudes, man.
I know.
Dude, one thing. I have a hard enough time convincing one woman to date me at a time.
Right?
I can't imagine the charm that one man must possess to be able to just bring in a whole flock of them.
Gotta start them young, Jeff.
Yep. The thing is, if you were evil enough on the inside, you'd figure it out. What stops you now is your conscience.
No,
I couldn't handle it.
No, it's my lack of looks and charm is what stops me now, because I would have 10. I don't care.
I could not handle that. I couldn't handle having multiple women sitting there saying they're not mad at me.
Surely they all sync up.
Trying to crack two codes.
All right, guys. This has been awesome. We will see you next week. Make sure you check out Evening with the Authors if you get a chance.
We got a live show, 10-8. It's our Halloween show.
Ooh. October 8th, the Halloween show.
Yeah, my tickets are selling
anywhere
out.
Near Indianapolis, it's going to be at the White Rabbit.
Yep. White Rabbit Cabaret, Fountain Square.
Get tickets to go see that. It's an incredible show, unlike any other comedy-based show you've ever seen. And as always, make sure you check out the Bob and Tom Show. If they're in your market, great. If they're not, guess what? Big on YouTube. check out YouTube and their social media.
That's right.
As for us, we'll see you next week. We are out.